Well, at 28 minutes to 3 here on 891 ABC Afternoons. Each week at this time over the last few weeks, we've been introducing you to some wonderful pieces of art. Now, these are pieces of art that you may not have seen for some time because they've been locked up in the bowels of the art gallery, but we're trying to free them, try to free them for the people. And you get the chance to choose which ones will get their walking orders, I guess, today. In fact, I'm just looking at this piece called Emancipation Approximation. I think we might have to start with that as we look at our fifth area today.
Yes.
The body.
The body.
Now, Lisa Slade is the project curator at the Art Gallery of South Australia. You've brought in a friend today.
I have indeed. I've brought in my colleague, Rusty Kelty, who's the assistant curator of Asian art at the gallery.
Well, welcome, Rusty.
Oh, thanks. It's great to be here.
You look too young to be an art aficionado.
Ah, well. I try to keep fit.
He started very young.
He was like five.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Lisa, let's start with this.
You've never said that about me.
And you, Lisa. Except I know you're about as old as I am.
That's
right.
So. As old as the hills.
Which makes me feel really old. Emancipation Approximation. Mm. I've decided I'm a bit of a screen printing fan after having a look at some of the ones that we've got on offer.
Good.
In this.
Good, good. Well, this is a really important work in the collection. It's by an African-American artist called Kara Walker. And Kara Walker is much celebrated in the States. She takes the idea of the silhouette, and the silhouette, of course, sort of started as a parlour craft, the idea of cutting through paper to show a profile. Mm. And she takes that idea and explores essentially the sort of racist history of American slavery through that particular visual language. So she explores some of the slavery narratives that involved her ancestors and uses the sort of fairly unlikely or fairly subversive medium of the silhouette. The silhouette's really important because, of course, it gives you an outline of the face, and people are often identified by their profile features. Interestingly, the idea of the silhouette runs transculturally, and in Rusty and James's collection, for instance, there are many silhouettes, or even the sort of shadow puppet idea is based on the idea of the profile. So this idea that you can somehow read the human face or the human body more pertinently this week through a silhouette is one of the things that she's exploring. So this screen print is actually an echo of the sorts of silhouettes that she literally cuts. So when she makes these works, she cuts life-size figures in black paper. And she hangs them on the white walls of the gallery. So you walk into the space and it's like this sort of upturned fairy tale narrative that tells a story about American slavery.
Just when I look at this, is the silhouette the piece on its own, just the actual cutout, or is it on a canvas or something like that?
No, it's actually only, it's a cutout. So it's, but in this instance, she has then screen printed the actual silhouette because the silhouettes don't survive. They're taken from the walls and they're sort of only temporary. So this is within the gallery's collection. We are so lucky. I'm not sure if there's Kara Walker in any other collection in Australia, but Kara Walker, in this instance, we've got the screen print that echoes that silhouette. So it's actually, it's paper, it's ink on paper in this instance.
Lisa Slade is my guest in the studio. She's the project curator at the Art Gallery of South Australia, the woman behind your gallery, and that is kind of emerging over the last few weeks and continues to over the next couple. That piece was called Emancipation Approximation. Mm. And this is something that you will be able to see on our website. So
Absolutely.
If you are tempted to see it in real life, face-to-face, then you could vote for that particular one. These are just a couple from this particular theme, which is your body. Let's bring in Rusty's skills and expertise on this. Let's take a look. I want to look at this beautiful coloured, what is it, a samurai warrior? Or
well, this is actually a woodblock print from the Edo period. Many of your patrons might know the Edo period, peaceful time in Japanese history. And these were kind of made in abundance. Some estimate up to 300 million woodblock prints were actually made during that period.
So why is this special?
This special? Well, this
well,
is special.
There's 300 million of them.
There's a lot, but there's not that many actually in existence. So there was a lot made. But this is actually really important because this was made by Utagawa Kunisada. And he was one of the foremost creators of woodblock prints during that period. And also his expertise was depicting kabuki actors. And so this is actually a kabuki actor, which is a kind of play set on stage with these kind of luxurious costumes and associated with the rising merchant class of Edo period Japan.
So kabuki was a very specific theatrical tradition in Japan. Yeah. Very slow movements and deliberate, wasn't it?
Very. They often capture, you know, these kind of very evocative, very kind of stylized movements of these actors. And if you look at this print, you can actually see his feet are in a position where you would actually never be able to stand. And his hand is kind of contorted in a kind of, I don't know how you would put it, but it's this fantastic pose of coming down. So it's a caught moment. Yeah, on stage.
This is a fighting wonderful one. Normally you see those sorts of bends in Kama Sutra. Oh dear. Rusty Kelty is the Art Gallery's Curatorial Research Assistant of Asian Art Studios. So quite apart, why are these special? Why should we take notice here in Australia of this kind of form, Rusty?
Well, because they were, let's say, during that period of like 1600 to 1868, they were just ubiquitous. They were this amazing form of culture that was kind of projected onto the streets. And every man, the chonin, the town person, could buy these things for a relatively small sum. And they were very much made for style that was coming up. Like the styles of the kabuki actors were often, you know, copied by those on the streets. So it was a very kind of democratic art form in a way.
Posters, weren't they?
Yeah,
similar sort of pinups, I suppose.
So this is like everyman art at the time, was it?
Very stylish, absolutely. Very hip. People would often copy the fashions off these. You know, they would have their favorite kabuki actors and they would go to see kabuki. And, you know, it's very evocative of an age of kind of decadence in Japan at that period when there was no war and there were these great red light districts where everybody would go and kind of populate. And
so is this the sort of geisha time, is it?
Yeah, it's a similar period when the geisha came, when was rising up, and kabuki along with that and various other cultural formats were kind of
very interesting. So this is called Figure Standing on a Balcony in Warlike Position Wielding a Sword.
Yes.
Not a very exciting title, is
no,
it?
No, it's not.
It's not a sexy title. So I need to just give a one-word one for that.
The reason we gave it that was because you can actually read on the side of the print, it says Nakamura Shinkan, which is actually the actor who's portraying this warrior. But we haven't been able yet to tell exactly which play or which kabuki play this is taken from.
Oh, so there's still a bit of mystery about
this. That's a bit of research that we need to do still.
Yeah. So often those titles are descriptive rather than being given by the artist at the time.
Right.
They're actually given by the curators to the objects within the collection.
Excellent. We're talking about the body. This is our fifth theme in our Your Gallery project that you get to vote on. We're just talking about a couple of the items in this particular theme. Now, the other one is also something that is a cultural one. Self-born linga. Tell us about this one.
Linga. Well, this is a Svayambhu linga. It's from India. And
is this just a stone, basically?
Well, it's the reason it's called a self-born stone was because it was created in the river, polished, brought down from the mountains into the river, and it's often found and then used as a symbolic object. So many of your listeners probably know about Hindu deities such as Shiva, Vishnu, and Brahma, the creator, the preserver, and the destroyer. And this lingam actually would have been set in a large yoni. So you have the male principle, the lingam.
I was just going to say, you're talking a whole other language here, aren't you?
Female principle, the
yoni.
Well,
you're the one that mentioned the Kama Sutra.
That's right.
Getting
that's
back
right.
to the Kama
We're
Sutra.
Cultured here. So the importance of this is that it was created without the hand of man and then picked up and used as a
ritual
object.
So why is that art and just not natural beauty?
Well, this is a very interesting question, and many people kind of wonder that themselves. I've talked to people about this specific object, and they've often been, well, why is this in a museum? And I guess you could say that because it was deemed of such cultural importance that it was picked up and then used in ceremonies and rites for a period of time. This is, 1900? So about 100 years. So it's gained an importance by being incorporated into that culture, drawn from nature and being incorporated into Hindu culture and ritual.
See, now we could have a bit of controversy about this, couldn't
could
we? We
could
see people might vote for this and others might say, well, I can't vote for that. That's not actually art. It's just a naturally occurring item.
It's complex.
Absolutely. But you can't have your say unless you vote.
Well, you can't, no. But this goes to the very heart of what makes art.
Most definitely. But it is quite extraordinary that it was made by nature, though. I mean, it looks entirely carved. It looks as though it's been at least polished by hand. So it is an incredibly beautiful object.
Okay, my next question then is, why is this included under the body theme?
Oh, right. Well, before I was talking about how this comes in two parts, female principle, the yoni, the bottom bit where it sits in, and then the male principle. So if you look at this, it's standing upright. Any idea what it might mean?
No.
Okay. Well, it's actually
if you were heading back to the Kama Sutra, you would be correct.
It's supposed to be.
Is this like sort of male female part?
Yes. Male genitalia.
It's a symbolic representation.
Oh. Yes.
Symbolic form.
Symbolic form.
Are you saying that's phallic?
Yep.
Phallic.
Indeed.
Very much so.
Gee, it's not like any phallus I've seen.
So it's controversial for a number of reasons. Is it art?
I'm not sure if it's controversial.
And is it a phallus?
I'm not sure if it's controversial if you have to point that out. Excellent.
Well, so, we wanted to broaden this idea of the body because if you think about the body in art traditions, you probably think of Western traditions of the nude, and you might even be just thinking about the female body. So we deliberately wanted to sort of shake that up a little bit, hence the inclusion of the kabuki character, but also this abstract form. Yeah.
Yeah, well, look, people, I want you to go and have a look at this particular one on the website because I'm not convinced this is actually really rates under the body theme. But, you know, like I don't want to be putting the sticks out there, the spanner in the works or
it
anything like that.
It could have been in Sacred and Powerful last week. You are quite right.
If you were in India and you are Indian, you would immediately know exactly what this means. So you're talking about an interesting, you know, different cultural context. You have to sit.
Well, they
in.
Would look at that and immediately know it's a phallus,
they would just know
that a stone relates to the phallus.
Well, it relates to Hindu. It's a form of Shiva and that it's a phallic form of Shima.
Okay.
Yeah. The Hindu gods take many forms, this being one of them.
So I think you might be taking a bit of religious license here, quite frankly, Rusty. Anyway. Well, they're just three. Thank you very much for explaining some of these particular pieces in the Your Gallery project. As I said, go and have a look yourself about the ones we've been talking about, which is Self-Born Linga, figure standing on a balcony in warlike position, wielding a sword. Very unsexy title. And Emancipation Approximation. They're just three of the around 20 we have in each theme.
Yeah, and look, there are some things
Lisa?
That people will immediately recognise. Max Dupain's Sunbaker, which is arguably the most iconic photograph in Australian photographic history from 1937, is in the selection. Yeah. So there are things that your listeners will see and go, oh, I know that. I'd love to see that again.
Yes.
But then there are other works that sort of perhaps challenge this idea of the body.
Now, the voting has been great up until now, but we'd love to see more of you go to the website, abc.net.au/Adelaide. Click on the Your Gallery button and you can have a look at all the pieces that are there and vote for the ones that you think are good. You can take more than one vote. You can vote as many times as you like. We're looking at trying to get the top four from each theme into this particular exhibition. And I reckon that the rhinoceros is leading the pack, isn't it?
Is leading the pack. Yes,
I've been away
for
a few days, so I'm not sure.
It is still leading the pack. We've checked the figures.
I'm glad to hear about that.
It's still out ahead, which is really exciting. We can't wait to get it out again. Because, you know, for us, this is so fascinating internally because we can't.
Are you being surprised by the vote?
Oh, absolutely. Mm. Yeah. Not so much by the rhino because it's, you know, people come in and ask where the rhino is. But there are some other works in there that certainly have surprised us in the voting. So this is an extraordinary, from both sides of the, you know, from within and without, this is a really interesting process.
Well, if you want to have your voice, your say in this, how often do you get told that you have the opportunity to be part of developing an exhibition yourself at the Art Gallery of South Australia? Take the most of this opportunity. Now, this is a question for you. One of our texters asked, is there such a thing as bad art or is it just art or not art?
Oh, boy.
Yeah,
that's a good question.
That sounds like
is
a whole
good bad art?
That's a whole radio
a whole
forum in itself. Yeah, but a good one, a great one to consider.
Maybe what we'll do, maybe when we launch the exhibition, we'll have a debate at the Art Gallery on that exact topic. What do you
Fantastic
think?
Fantastic idea.
We'll get a few of you people in and see whether you agree with what our listeners say.
And you know
one.
Your listeners go into the draw to actually be there at the launch. So
that's
you
right.
get to have sort of front row seats
if you
for the launch. Only if you vote. You also get to cast your judgment about the work or your opinions about the work, and we'll be incorporating those into the text that we'll have with the works within the gallery.
Wow.
So not only does your vote, of course, mean that the work's included if you vote enough times, but it also means that what your response to the work, you get to be an art critic for the day.
Yeah, hands-on. Hands-on involvement. Thank you so much for coming along, both
thank
of you today.
You
it's been
so
great
you.
Having you. Rusty Kelty, lovely to have you drop by.
Yeah, thank you.
And Lisa Slade, both from the Art Gallery of South Australia. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.